Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm opening it as we speak.
Well, I've already got it.
Well, I want to look on my phone to be able to refer without having to lean over to you and sniff you.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three extremely kind and knowledgeable boys. First of all, you've got me. It's little Tommy Dasilo. Sitting opposite me to my immediate right, you've got...
Ben Vanel.
Wearing a scarf and a jacket. It's very cold in my house.
Yep.
There's no...
And it's cold outside.
Mm. I think it's actually colder in here than it is out there.
It's a modern miracle.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm here. I'm full of cheer. Don't know any other rhymes.
Do you care to introduce our other co-host?
Not particularly. No, please... Tommy, give a warm round of applause to our other co-host. It's Adam Knox.
Hey, everybody. It's great to be here. Beautiful. So, what's been going on in the news lately?
So, I was just jacking my dick. That's what you heard on the microphone.
News hour.
Oh, we actually... There is kind of news. Well, this isn't really news.
Oh, are we not going to fuck around about DuckTales for 45 minutes before we get into the podcast?
No, because people have been going, hey, talk about video games. I can't get information about them anywhere else on the internet. So I come to you.
Yeah.
Well, so last night, an article went up on the website.
An article dropped.
Yep.
On the Eurogamer website.
Yeah.
They've called it. They've just gone in. What's the exact headline? You guys spent 20 minutes...
It says, Nintendo NX is a portable console with detachable controllers, motherfucker.
Now, this is a pretty wild move for a news site to just... That headline is just fact. There's no speculation in there.
Yeah.
So, someone that we know... We're in a little private video games group on Facebook, we should say, for the listeners.
Yep.
Someone posted it in there. I thought, oh, they've done it. This is an official announcement.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not. It's the Eurogamer website going...
Why are you saying the Eurogamer website like you're an elderly newsreader?
The Facebook.
God damn it. They have, they've put this report out. They've gotten sick of sitting around collating all the rumors.
Yeah.
They've decided to just throw their hat in the ring and just fucking go for it.
They must have some new, very confirmy kind of piece of information because this has been the rumor for ages.
Yeah.
And I think Eurogamer was one of the sites that dropped like some leaked info like a year ago as well. But yeah,
these rumors have been circulating for ages. They've put this article out and then today... Pretty much every other major video games website has gone, well, we've got a report on this too now.
Yeah.
So, what they are saying is pretty much confirmed as far as they're concerned is that the NX is
It's a Laserdisc player with a Virtual Boy attachment.
Dragon's Lair launch game.
It's a portable console, essentially.
Yeah.
It can plug into a TV, but you can also take it on the go and controllers can attach into it, which I think you will find mirrors the prediction of one little Tommy Dasilo.
All the
way back in our Nick Mason episode.
Yeah. If you look at, like, the picture looks like a Wii U gamepad, except you can snap the sides off the screen and just have them as controls, like little Wiimotes kind of.
Mm.
And then there's like a little stand coming out the back of the screen to prop it up if you want to put it on a table. And apparently it'll have like a little dock. A little...
What kind of table?
What is a stand again?
Well, you could use any form of table you really wanted to.
How many tables do you have in your house, Knox?
I have zero tables.
Really?
I have one desk. Oh, no, I have two tables.
I think you'll find the truth is somewhere in between.
I always get confused between two and zero. The number of times I've been like, wait, am I having a threesome or am I just waking right now?
Oh no, I forgot to pick up my two kids. Oh wait, I've got four.
Oh.
The I've got two little like black IKEA IKEA little coffee tables. So I don't count them as tables because they're not like kitchen tables.
Sure, yeah.
So what do you eat? Let me guess, on the toilet.
Well, it depends what I'm eating, but like if it's a breakfast, I'll just kind of hover over the kitchen bench.
And mm-hmm. if it's a shit in the toilet, it's probably sitting on the toilet.
How would I get into the toilet if I'm sitting
down.
On it? Think about it, mate.
Reach down.
What would I do? No, you sit on the floor and you reach your head in like a giraffe drinking from a lagoon.
He's fucking got you there, yeah. I have to say. Yeah. How often do you eat in bed?
Never. I make it because my immediate instinct is to eat everything in bed.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
to do everything in bed.
What about you, Ben?
I do a lot of eating in bed, if you know what I mean.
Oh, God. What do you mean? Explain what you mean.
Dinner for two?
Or dinner for zero?
There's no way of telling. It's
but seriously, do you have a meal in the old bed?
No. Okay. I used to, when I lived in a share house, and I didn't want to like eat in the living room.
Okay.
I just sit in on my bed.
On your bed, okay.
Watching
TV.
Some people
love it. Some people love chips. My ex used to like chips in bed and all this.
Yeah. Ugh.
No,
this
it's gross. You've got to make a deliberate rule not to eat in bed.
Exactly.
I have like one room that's a living room and bedroom. A studio apartment, you might call it.
Mm-hmm.
And
I wouldn't.
But it's like, so I'll eat at my desk where my computer is because it's a long desk. And there's another space for doing either paperwork or
do you do a lot of paperwork?
I've got a lot of paperwork to get through. These two or four kids don't look after themselves, annoyingly. But I eat wherever's opportune.
I'm not into it. I think we can all agree, eating in bed, no good.
Yep.
Should we end the podcast there?
I think so.
So the NX, that is what they are saying. This article goes on to say that apparently September is when they are they're aiming to do the big announce, the big reveal.
Which, that makes sense. That's kind of what we thought as well.
I'm kind of hoping.
Yeah.
I want to know everything.
Yeah.
I'm kind of hoping that now that this has gotten a lot of traction, maybe they'll bump that up.
I mean, I bet that's what it is. This must be from like developers who are working with it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And like they must know if it's happening in September, they're already making that direct or whatever, surely.
Well, sure.
Doing their like nice little photos of where it's just in like a vacuum of white whenever they show off a new console.
Yep.
But so then it says, it can connect to your TV. It's got like a little docking station. There's information about how powerful it might be. There's something called a Tegra mobile processor, which NVIDIA has used in their like Shield things. Have you ever seen one of them?
Mm-mm.
There's this thing called an NVIDIA Shield, and I think it's basically like a handheld thing for streaming from a computer, if that makes sense.
Okay. Yep, sure.
And there's some processor there that's like the one that exists now is slightly more powerful than a Wii U. And there's a second one that's going to be more powerful than that, which is what they predict it's going to be using.
So, right. I mean, this my theory with it was that it would be like sort of the Wii U, but the controller would basically be a handheld that you could take with you.
Yeah.
And maybe play certain elements of the game on the go, if not the whole game.
Mm.
And so what this is saying, if I'm correct, is that you'll be able to take the whole thing with you.
Yeah.
Which
it's just the gamepad.
I find that insane that, like, I mean, that you can get that kind of processing power in a handheld.
I mean, but they've never really gone for super complicated.
I guess no one really has, right? Like, maybe the Vita, but that's...
Yeah, Nintendo especially has never been like, we've got the most powerful one out
but
there.
But still something that's, like, the quality of, like, even just a Wii U up on the TV.
Yeah.
Like, be able to have that processing power in something that's small enough to take on the
that's
go.
That's the thing is that this looks pretty hefty.
Yeah,
right.
it looks wide.
It looks like a thicker iPad size or like, almost or something.
Maybe like, you know,
like iPads are heavy. Like.
Yeah, the 3DS XLs, maybe slightly bigger than one of them.
Yeah, I feel like large.
I kind of feel like maybe it's, I don't think it's the intent is for so much like on the go, like waiting at the tram stop.
Yeah.
I think it's maybe more for like you going on the ease of being able to take it with you on holiday or for like a long haul, something where you're sitting for a longer period of time.
More
not
comparable
that style
to like the use of like a MacBook Air or something like that.
Maybe.
Kinda, not so much being able to just like chuck it in your pocket. Yeah. And like if you're going on the tram for 10 minutes.
Their focus is like on the Japanese market apparently more with this one, and they do a lot more of that than we do here.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
a lot more like mobile stuff, you know, like right. It's a lot bigger in Japan.
Yeah, you see and more people with tablets on the train yeah. in Japan.
But in which case, yeah. I mean, how big is this thing going to have to be?
It looks like it's yeah. going to be big.
Yeah. Right.
Like, or in, you know, in handheld terms, it's going to be, yeah. it ain't no Game Boy Pocket, let me tell you right now.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's using cartridges.
Yeah.
Which are basically SD cards at this point. That's what mm. that is.
That's true, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And digital downloads probably, but they say they just assume that.
But I think that's cool. I mean, I think if you get it into a point where the combination of like a big game that you're playing at home, like being able to, you know, when you go away, take it with you.
Yeah.
Versus if they just start to make stuff that is really just only made for when you have it on the go. Like yeah. if they bring yeah. out new Tetrises and whatever that you can download onto it
yep.
that are more sort of suited to being out in the world.
And maybe you can snap those controller parts off and just take the screen part and have it like an iPad, and there are games that would just use the screen yeah. as controls.
But yeah. I think like the biggest concern that I have out of this is that it doesn't sound like it's going to be a great home console.
No, like, it sounds like that's an afterthought with yeah, it, that yeah. you can plug it into the TV, but, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but, I mean, if this thing, if we didn't know that we were getting Breath of the Wild on it, like if we didn't know that we were getting a game that mm-hmm. is already looks yeah. amazing on what we've seen of it on the Wii U,
yeah.
I would be worried. I would be thinking, okay, well, they're going to scale back a lot of functionality yeah. of it, and it's probably yeah. going to be just on par. But given that we know it can do that mm. at the very least,
it must be at least equivalent.
It must
to
be
Wii U.
At least as powerful,
yeah.
if not a little, like, you know.
But is that going to just have Wii U too? Like, is that what's the incentive for?
But this, I mean, this has always been the thing with them, and this is why I'm so eager for them to announce it. I think the console sounds cool. Mm. I think realistically, it's actually not that crazy of a console for them to make. It's
no.
basically just a normal console that you happen to be able to take
well,
on the
and
go
the 3DS with. Yeah. has always done better for them than the Wii
well,
U.
Well, I was going to say, yes. it sounds more like a big 3DS.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, it's basically, you can plug it into the TV and you're playing The Legend of Zelda on a normal controller.
Sure.
Yeah. That's what I mean. I mean, it's kind of, it's just basically essentially, yeah, there's no fucked up controller.
I mean,
there's no motion bullshit that people have to get on. Well, if you want to ignore all that functionality of it, you can go, it's just this powerful and it has a controller and it plays games.
Yeah.
So I think that, I think that sounds really cool.
Sure.
But what they need to do now, and I think also the other thing, and probably what tripped them up with the Wii U is, in terms of pitching this to consumers, that's an extremely accessible idea.
Mm.
It's like, it's a console that plays all our games.
Right.
And you can take it on the go with you.
Yeah.
So in terms of just getting people, you know, just people who don't study up about all this stuff about games,
in terms of sales, it's perfectly pitched for families.
Yeah, exactly.
And if they get a lot of take up in families, Christmas presents, all that kind of stuff, then I guess maybe they'll have the money to drive, you know, development of good games that maybe the Wii U didn't have and it just didn't break through.
But this is
culturally.
What they need to, like, I think it's a cool move. I think it sounds really good. I'm interested, but you know, their strength has always been, like, it doesn't matter what the hardware can do. Like, they've never been about the hardware. They've always been about their own games.
Yeah.
They just need to have a solid launch window, which they haven't done for their last three consoles.
Yeah.
Like, they need to back up. It's not enough to just have, Breath of the Wild looks amazing, but it at the end of the day, it still is a holdover from a previous console.
Yep.
They need to come out of the gates with a good, solid library. The Wii U has an amazing library of games, but by the time it started gathering steam, people had made up their minds and it couldn't make a difference.
I almost thought about buying a Wii U, like, you know, a month ago.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, no, why would I do that now?
But it's worth it because there's a lot of great games. You can get one for pretty cheap and have a good time with it.
Yeah, the other thing is that there won't be backwards compatibility with this one at all.
Yeah.
Unless, I mean, they've always had their, you know, downloadable games on it, so they'll probably still
and
have that.
And there's talk of these rumors about Smash Brothers and a boosted up Smash Brothers being a launch title for
Like the HD versions of Uncharted and stuff that they've done recently. It'll
be
the equivalent of that, I'm guessing. The other thing is, like, I don't know, man, like, this looks, you know, I can tell the difference, obviously. We can tell the difference between this and an iPad or something. But I'm imagining someone going, I'm going to get something for my kid to play games on or whatever. Or for me even, what's the difference between this and an iPad? Why wouldn't I get an iPad? Because this can do all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Like, what, especially with, like, Pokemon Go and stuff recently, people want things on the stuff they've already got.
That's fair, yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking in my own personal life, you know, I'll get a game and then I'll end up going, you know, interstate for like a week to do gigs. And I'll have just started playing the game on the PS4 and go, oh, man, this is so fun. Mm. And I can now take that with me mm-hmm. and play it the whole way through.
Yeah, like, and that's what I they'll focus on for yeah. sure.
I think that's cool. I think it's cool if it's got the power of a console in it, being able to have... Like, portable games are really fun, but they are still generally pretty limited by what they can pack in there.
Sure, and, like, if I guess if you think of it as, like, having the power of an... having your Xbox 360 and having it the size of an iPad, I guess that is cool.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's what I want.
Well, and the idea of the three of us being able to sit here, each with our own little NX or whatever it's called, some dumb other, like, name like we Gremple or whatever, just, hey, it sounds... You can say it in every language and whatever, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I'll still plug it into the TV because it's going to look better on the TV.
Sure. I hope that's not just like it's got a fucking HDMI out on it or something, you know? Like, I hope there's no wire going from the thing you're holding to the TV. Like, it says it has a docking station at the base, but then, like,
controllers plug into it, don't they?
It doesn't say anything about that in this.
Right.
It says it's got those two little things on the side that snap in or whatever.
Well, I assume if you're using it at home, there's like a dock that has an HDMI.
And they'll have some wireless controller.
And you'll have wireless controllers. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then does the screen on that thing, is that a touch screen again? Does that factor in? Are you missing out on that?
Well, look.
Can you maybe use a Wii U gamepad or whatever?
One thing is for certain. We've talked about it enough now on this episode that it's going to get all announced within 30 minutes of us having uploaded this. Yeah. So, guys
Nintendo
at home,
will
if you're listening,
bankruptcy.
Pause the episode. Yeah.
Check
Eurogamer. I'm sure it's all out there. Yeah. The Nintendo Direct is in progress as we speak.
Yeah.
Miyamoto comes out and goes, no, you've got it all wrong. The NX is a state of mind. That's all it is.
Look, I'm excited. I feel very vindicated. I feel like this is, I think it's an interesting move. Mm. I think it sounds cool. But it all just rests on the software. They need to be coming out with some top tier. And they
If there's like five games that come out, you know, at launch or around launch, and there's like new Mario.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's new Zelda.
Yeah.
Say new Smash Bros, new Mario Kart.
If they did the
and
thing
something
of
else, maybe a Metroid game, well, and they're all good, then I'll get it.
If they did Splatoon and Mario Maker with NX versions, that sort of stuff that I didn't really play much of because I never had a Wii U, that would help.
Which is why I was thinking about buying a Wii U. So
Because here's what could be cool is the whole idea of the gamepad and the functionality of it, especially in multiplayer, was just never capitalized on in any way.
Yeah.
And they had so many cool things in Nintendo Land, one of the launch titles, that showed that off. They had a chasey game where the person who's it has the gamepad and they can see where everyone is that they're trying to catch.
Right.
Oh, right, but the people playing...
But then the people playing who are being chased are on the screen.
That was like Pac-Man for the GameCube that they made.
Yeah,
right, right.
And you use the Game Boy Advance things. They had that idea and it never worked on
so
that either.
So just that kind of stuff, which is a very primitive... The way they did it was just a very simplistic idea. But I played it a few times with other people and it was so much fun.
Mm.
And as a launch thing, you went, okay, this is the, you know, spin this off into a bigger game.
Yeah, here's your potential.
Which they never did. I mean, if people buy into the NX and everyone has one,
because
that was the other thing, you couldn't link up separate game pads, multiple game pads to the one system.
Yeah.
Right.
Like if you had a thing where you could bring yours over and then you've got your own screen when we're playing, you know, a shooting game or whatever, and that benefits you in some way.
Sure, but then, you know, like exactly one of the biggest problems with the Wii U is happening again, where it isn't going to have all of the, you know, PS4 things or equivalent again, probably. Mm. So Nintendo really will need to have, like, here are enough games that we're making to make
what
this worth
need,
it for you.
And I mean, I just think that I was talking to someone about this today and... Yeah, he was saying, you know, the graphics capability isn't going to be there. I just think they've decided a long time ago that let people fight it out between PlayStation and Xbox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll just be the other option where we've got a unique experience.
And they need to do a better job this time than they did with the Wii U of making a case for, yo, we have. They don't need to say yo. I probably shouldn't say yo either.
They need to go back to, and again, this is easier said than done. They need to go back to that when they used to have great second party support. When they had Rare and like when Nintendo wouldn't put out a game in a year, there would be a huge Rare title.
Yeah.
That's what they need. They need a Capcom or a whoever it is making stuff so that, and that's been the problem with the Wii U. The only games that you need to go and get are the Nintendo ones. And that still ends up at the end of a game's system's life cycle. That still ends up being a great library,
yeah.
But it's not enough to have one great title per year.
Yeah, because when Xbox One and PS4 came out, it was which is the better media system?
Yeah.
And it's like, for a lot of people, for me, I think, definitely, like, when a new generation of consoles come out, it's like, okay, I guess I'll upgrade my Blu-ray player now, and I'll, you know, this will be my sound system and my, and all that kind of thing. And that's what the purchase is, as well as, oh, I guess, and I'll play games on it for the next 5 years.
But you I can't, mean, so, I've, like, yeah. I've, like, you know, I've gone in, I was a holdout for a long time, I've made the call to be, all right, I'll get a second one, I'll get a PS4.
Yep.
So I don't give a fuck how powerful the NX is.
Sure.
Like, I just care, I just want the support, like, I just want them to make
that's
Mario Galaxy 3 and, you know, do good stuff with their existing properties.
Yeah, well, I
don't care if GTA doesn't come out on it.
But I think the point was, like, that when those Xbox and PS whatever's launch, that's when the general consumer buys in. They go, oh, cool. This is the time when I spend $500, $600 and upgrade all this other stuff, and now I'm a PS4 owner.
Yeah.
Whereas with Nintendo, that doesn't happen. It's got to be like, I'm buying this to play games on it.
Yeah.
And then you have to justify it with
the games.
The games.
That's true. I think if they came along and tried to do it, they'd be fucking Google Plus. They're too late to their party to do that.
Yep.
But they.
I mean, I think the strategy here is launch it in March, get the diehards, you know, give yourselves a few months to that launch window of have games that can't, you know, obviously aren't going to come out straight away, but maybe a few months in.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden you're 9 months in and Christmas is there, price drop, there's a bit of a library.
Yeah.
Like that's clearly the strategy in thinking of it in its first year.
Yeah.
But you've just got to have stuff in that window because the Wii U came out and then there was just... And then once it started, it was great, but it just... Yeah. So this is going to be... I really hope that they bump it up and we get something soon.
Best case scenario for that thing in September would be they go, hey, this thing, it's portable and whatever and you can play your games on it, but you know how games work. Mm. So here's 20 things that are being made for it, not all of them by us.
Yeah.
They're not all coming out immediately, but...
Well, it's like Pokemon Go is a like one out of the box, but they need... It would be great and it would probably be the thing that would propel the system to success is a game that everyone wants to play because everyone's playing it.
Yeah.
You need like... Even if it is like Mario Kart and they figure out some way... Because everyone loves Mario Kart. Like, we've been playing it since, you know, the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
There's a lot of nostalgia there, and it's a fun party game, and you can play it by yourself and online. Like, if they can, that would be maybe one. Super Smash Bros. As well. Like,
I mean, the idea of, like, it's this great home console experience, and then you can take it in your bag with you. And if, I mean, maybe it's an iPhone app as well where... Yep.
Does it tether to a phone so you can play multiplayer
or something?
Yeah,
I mean, if it's going to be a portable thing as well, I mean, all their portables have wireless where you can play against people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe it's a thing where it's on your phone as well so you can be, let's say... The iPhone app is linked to the console that's in your bag and you're on the train and it comes up with a notification going, hey, there's a couple of other people in the area that have one as well with them.
Go fuck them up and steal it.
You can message them and say, hey, do you want to...
Give me your
behind
shit.
You, let's play.
Well,
do you want to fuck?
Yeah.
I think Pokemon Go then is like a really helpful in like the cultural progression thing of like normalizing... Just playing games out and about, like, just more than it ever has been before.
I mean, I think that would be really cool if there was a game where... Because, I mean, I think if it's... For it to be really cool, like, beyond just the thing of being able to pick it up and take it and play it, you know, when you're out and about, if there was a thing where when you have it out with you, if you play people in the real world or do stuff with it in the real world at the portable thing, then when you bring it and connect it back to the console, there's rewards for that in the game. I mean, I don't know. They've said that they're not, that there's not really going to be any... Have they said that there's... No, they've said that they're not going to use the gamepad in Breath of the Wild. But I'm wondering, you know, the whole thing of that game being hunting and gathering in open world sort of stuff. Mm. I mean, maybe there'll be something of it that plays into that in terms of like being able to take
maybe.
It out of the world
I
with
I doubt
you.
That though, because that game specifically has been being made for so much longer before they had any of the
I know, but they still, if it's a launch thing, you'd have to... I mean,
maybe.
Twilight
if
Princess
it's a bonus,
had some bow and arrow bullshit with the Wiimote. Like...
Yeah. If it is like literally, like bonus items, then it's not something they have to have been coding for 5 years.
So. Yeah. It's exciting though. I'm looking forward to listening back to this episode when it's come out and going back on how fucking ridiculous we all sound.
I'm looking forward to watching that thing in September. Maybe we should all watch that here or something. Record
well,
as we're doing.
I'm going to be in Japan in September.
Oh, well, fuck
home
you
video
then.
Games.
I'll turn up while they're doing the Nintendo Direct and try and photobomb it.
Try and sell your PlayStation.
Okay, that's enough NX speculation. Yep. Yeah, exciting stuff. Okay, we've talked about Pokemon Go briefly in the context of that conversation. We've talked about it a bit on this show. That continues to... That's launched in Japan.
Yep.
Again, we talked about how... Who knows when it's going to launch. And I think it launched the day after we put the last episode.
It was the day after,
This show is cursed.
I reckon I'll never get $1 million. It's not going to happen. And then it just doesn't. I go bankrupt tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, this is hilarious. So, Nintendo shares skyrocketed.
Oh, yeah.
Went up heaps.
Yeah, this is a good
story. I think we talked about last episode in response to Pokemon Go. Mm. Then... people find out that Nintendo actually don't have that much to do with the app.
Mm. Yeah.
Their shares go down again.
Yeah.
Their shares went down 17% and the absolute most you can go down in a day is 18%.
Fucking hell.
Oh, so it wasn't as bad as it could be. That's, you know, good on you.
That's hilarious. I mean, that's funny. That's so funny because they weren't being dishonest about that. Putting out
but as if they weren't replying to emails from people going like, we own. Yeah. Yeah, man. Pokemon, that's our... big thing.
I think they have like 32%. But also their logo's not anywhere on the game.
Yeah.
It's not surprising. I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. It's the stock market stuff is just all perception. So, and it's,
tell us more about the stock market.
How does it work?
Well, I've got a bit of a cough. You'll have to go on without
Stop throwing that dwarf across the room and tell us more about your time on Wall Street.
Well, a stand is like something you put something on. To
like a table.
Yeah.
That I needed to know that.
I think that's kind of that's the big news of Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
I don't know. More and more people are talking to me about how not into it they are. I find myself in more conversations about how it's not very
because there's not much of a game there, so at some point you're gonna after the novelty wears off.
Like you people get sick going, of it. Oh man, there's a Pikachu over there. You can't do anything interesting with it once you get it.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah. Well, it's like Tarzos. You just collect them. But Tarzos were great. This has been my year 12 oral presentation.
Year 12?
Yeah.
That was way too late for you to be into Tarzos.
I hope that wasn't a sack. let's do a whole episode about Tarzos sometime.
Absolutely.
Just to have such a huge collection.
Man, I had a bunch of fucking knockoff Tarzos.
Oh, really?
That, like, they weren't real at all. The backs were just completely white. And on the front was just like, it looked like Ed Hardy shirts, just bad illustrations of dragons and shit. But I had like 6,000 of them because I just bought a big sack of them at some market.
Fuck. Have I ever talked on this show about how I used to play a certain card game, not Pokemon, not Magic the Gathering, the Austin Powers collectible card game?
Bullshit, there was an Austin Powers. Really?
There was an Austin Powers collectible card game.
How many fucking cards can you make out of that?
Let me see if there's anything about it online because it was pretty like...
I've never heard of this. Yeah.
I was...
the fact that it was a game, I could get like just trading cards, but an actual game...
Yeah.
I've got 6 shags.
It was basically like you had to build up mojo. And I think you basically went around shagging other people.
Okay.
Wow.
Like,
and then you played the card game.
Yeah.
Whoa!
The Austin Powers collectible card game.
We're halfway there.
I wonder if... Oh man, there's some stuff on eBay. I'm going to buy some sets.
Ooh.
Okay, the game was introduced in 1999. The Spy Who Shagged Me was the only set released. Oh, yeah, they were going to... An expansion titled International Man of Mystery was scheduled to follow the initial release, but poor advertising and interest in the game caused the cancellation of any subsequent expansions.
Oh, no. Who could have predicted
that
the Austin Powers collectible... That was in the height of card games as well, I feel like the late 90s when Pokemon got big. Every second thing, like... tried to have its own card game.
And then
there was a wrestling one.
Yeah.
There was a what?
A wrestling card game, a WWF at the time one.
Oh, man. Yeah, there were heaps. I was into the Dragon Ball Z ones. I went through phases where I was into like all of them.
The cool thing about the Dragon Ball Z one was you had a little sword that you moved up and down in its sheath to correspond to your power level.
Yes.
And when you got to the maximum power level, you came.
Okay.
Really?
Hoping you're going to do a twist on it.
No, just exactly what you thought.
I'm just
but
distracted.
No, it did have a little cool sword thing, but it didn't come out of its sheath, so that was kind of lame.
Oh. I've just gotten distracted because I found a whole bunch of...
And then a big plastic Z that you'd put, or a Z, that you put next to your card, and it would have like a little loop, and that would show you what the health of the character was or whatever.
That's pretty cool.
Three unopened boxes, Austin Powers 1999 collectible card game.
How did they have the self-control to not open three boxes of Austin Powers?
$61.
$61?
Postage is...
Put eight more dollars on there. offer them eight more.
$31.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I'm not playing. I'm not getting that.
So what, like $90 for... Three boxes. Oh, so like the big sort of cases that you get at a milk bar.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, man. I don't know.
That's
30 bucks
a bad
each.
Deal.
What do we take one box each?
What?
30 bucks. We put.
I'm not just buying you a packet of box of Austin Powers
trading
cards.
I'm giving you $30.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Well, in that case.
And Ben gives you
$30. Yeah, this assumes I'm in.
And we get you a pack of. We get a packet and we do a live.
Oh, okay.
Man, you guys will love it. It's really fun.
Yeah,
I bet.
Okay. Also, we've got to play that home improvement board game.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
It's right over there.
On my shelf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have to live stream it.
That's actually a great idea. We'll do a Facebook
live stream.
All right. So, Pokemon Go, it's also come out in Japan, and as predicted, it's been huge over there apparently.
Yep.
Everyone went to this big park that has like a Pokeball shape in the middle of it if you look at it from above.
Mm.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Just a circle.
Yep.
And
crop circle.
Cuz they thought there was going to be a Mewtwo there, but it was just someone playing a prank.
That's
great.
Pretty good.
Great Japanese prank.
The great Japanese tradition of the prank. other bigger news. Bigger news this week.
My wife.
It's the 25th anniversary of Sonic the Hedgehog. So Sega.
Yeah.
Sega or Sega? Is it Nike or Nike?
It's Nike, right?
Adidas.
Is it Adam and Eve or Adam Knox?
Should we edit that out? Is that
I'm using that.
Intellectual property.
Have we ever talked about this? That's me and Ben think that Adam should call his next comedy festival show It's Adam and Eve, not Adam Knox.
And I believe.
And he's going to do it. He says he's going to do it in 2018.
Yeah.
Because I one thing about that name is I am concerned people will think that it's an anti-gay show.
It is.
It's almost like that's half of why it's funny.
And so the poster is your Adam.
Just me looking at a photo of Freddie Mercury and frowning.
I reckon it should be Garden of Eden.
Yeah, obviously.
And
yeah.
your head on both Adam and Eve, nude, and then you're also the snake, and you're the apple.
Okay, could I be any more things? I don't know if that's enough.
You're God like as a cloud.
Yeah, a little deer in the background as well.
It's Adam and Eve, not Adam Ross.
That's great.
Imagine if it got protested for being anti-gay. That would be even better.
Yeah, I'd love it. It'd be so good.
But you'd just be on the news all the time. You're like, it's just a joke.
Yeah, it's not even about that.
I do a podcast. Okay, what we're talking about. Oh, yeah, so it's the 25th anniversary of Sonic the Hedgehog. Sega have come out. They've announced two new titles.
Yeah.
One called Project Sonic.
Yeah.
Which looks... in the vein of...
Should have called it It's Adam and Eve, not Sonic the Hedgehog.
It's that's pretty homophobic, man. Can you not make those kind of jokes on this podcast?
So, Sonic collecting rings? I mean, do I have to spell it out for you?
Oh.
A-N-A-L.
Got to go fast, more like...
Gotta fuck gotta ass. Sorry, it just rhymes.
Nah, keep it all in. Project Sonic looks like an amalgamation of every unsuxcessful Sonic game that they've made in the last 15
years. It's a new 3D
years.
Sonic game that won't be good.
All we've seen is a trailer of like a cutscene. It's Sonic in a post-apocalyptic wasteland.
And then a second Sonic shows up and he's like, hey, Sonic, it's Sonic. I'm here to help.
The thing from Sonic Generations where they now have this like cross-timeline thing. It looks real stupid.
Yep.
But they also announced Sonic Mania, which is a game that is being made by, not Sega, a couple
Some other group of people like,
I'll look it up,
brought
it's,
in.
It's... I think it's like a like a guy that they've hired that
just
has
a guy
that's made a lot of like fan Sonic games. So they've kind of like, I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, at least they kind of get it, but at the same time, it's a little depressing when you just can't. I mean, as shown by Project Sonic, like it's weird to go, okay, we get it, guys, we get what you want. So we've gotten some fans to make the ultimate celebration of Sonic, but also we're going to announce a thing that looks fucking god-awful. Do we get it or not? Who knows?
That's true. But and someone made the point. Oh, Levins made the point, who's been on the podcast before.
Yep.
Andrew Levins.
Andrew Levins.
Yeah, I said Andrew Levins.
Internet rabble rouser Andrew Levins.
Oft referred to on this program as someone.
Yeah, that's why I said his name. Music festival ruiner Andrew Levins has made the point of like how good would it be if someone like Nintendo got like just some other developer to make a 2D Metroid game every year.
Mm. Yeah.
That'd be fucking cool.
Which like, I mean, they kind of do. They have Retro Studios who do like the Metroid games.
Well, they did for a period of time.
And,
but
yeah,
they don't
and the
anymore.
Donkey Kong Country Returns games.
Mm. And it works and really well.
Yeah, they should be doing it a bit more.
Yeah.
But I don't know, this Sonic one is, I mean, it looks cool, but who cares?
It looks exactly the same as the first game.
Yeah.
So why would
if the best thing that you're doing with your franchise is just kind of like putting a bit of spit and polish on something that's 25 years old.
Yeah.
Like, get a fucking grip.
Yeah
but remakes
are... it's a strong position.
Like, you know, those original Sonic games aren't that good these days as well. They're not that fun to play.
I think we've talked about this before. Like, it's not fun. You run into stuff and
they've not aged well at all.
The graphics and the colors and the soundtracks, that just stuff still just gets me that I'll overlook
totally,
all that other stuff.
Totally. Yeah. But
it's
and, like,
so
hopefully
tied to such a, like, a young... formative time of my life.
And whoever these people are, hopefully they can kind of do something with that game that the original ones didn't and bring it to a more modern thing.
Maybe they'll cut out those annoying gameplay aspects.
Well, they kind of, there was one thing in it where when you drop down, you can keep immediately going fast, which is like something from the originals where you'd have to slowly run and build up the speed.
Yeah.
So it looks like maybe they get it.
Hmm. I kind of think, like, why not give that team, like, just them making a game that looks exactly like the first one. It would be cool if they got a team of fans and people who do get it to do a modern, like a 3D one.
Sure.
Like,
I mean,
a modern interpretation.
My impression of it is that the 2D one would be cheaper and easier to make.
For sure. Mm.
So when you're trying something out, give them, you know, a simpler project to begin with, which makes a lot of sense.
Because it should be, I mean, there's elements in those 3D Sonic games of the last 10 years that are kind of cool. Bits and pieces of them. The ones where you're running forward.
Yeah.
Through the screen.
Yeah. There's stuff you could wrangle out of that if you had people who knew what they were doing.
But you know what?
But they haven't for 25 years.
It's every one of those they put out, people go, oh man, like 40% of this is like pretty great and then 60% is garbage. And they never seem to look at that and take that on board. And it's crazy.
The next time they go, okay, so the 60% was a bit where he didn't have a human girlfriend?
Yeah.
Is that the bit you... Oh, so that is it because he wasn't a werewolf?
That one where he's a fucking werewolf is incredible.
We've tried everything.
Well, it feels like... Because like, the game that came out that was better than Sonic at being 3D was Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah.
Like, it was the same kind of thing, but it was better. So. And, I mean, they're both coming back. Who's going to win?
Man, and Crash Bandicoot as well is, again, that little bit in Uncharted made me realize, like, well, this hasn't aged well.
Yeah.
This is difficult to bother with.
Yeah.
And those remade Crash Bandicoots, I don't really know if I give a shit about.
Mm.
He can take his little sexy shorts and leave.
Ooh. I never was into Crash at the time. But as we said when we talked about this the first time, if it's done with the same kind of... level of attention that the Ratchet and Clank reboot was done with, I'll be in.
I bet it won't.
I reckon it will. That was that Ratchet and Clank was really successful. They'd be wanting to do the same thing.
That first of all, the original Ratchet and Clank game was a lot more recent than the Crash Bandicoot one, so it already had a lot of that shit in there. The original one, you know what I mean? Like, they didn't have to do too much spit and polish to make that feel modern. As much as they would with a Crash Bandicoot. Does that make sense?
Yeah, true.
Because that was like a PS2 thing.
I think they get it. I think they get that you can't just chuck. Like, I think what they will probably do is put the originals as is, possibly up on the PSN shop for like whatever, $10. And then I reckon they'd be doing a... Because they've got him in Spyro and it's like a new model and he looks modern.
Mm. He looks silly though.
You're not going to launch him in that and then just go, hey, here's a super old...
Maybe.
Version of him.
Yeah.
I'm already ready to write my scathing review with the title Car Crash Bandicoot.
Oh.
Talk about it. More like Crash Bandicoot.
Crash Bandicunt.
Oh, very good.
What publication is that going up in? I asked you a question. Which one?
The Eurogamer website, maybe.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Speaking of asking questions, yes. Ben, what's going on in the mailbag?
Well, welcome to my favourite segment of the show, Filthy Feedback.
Mm-hmm.
I like it more than What's Bugging Ben.
Yeah, whatever happened to What's Bugging Ben?
I like the childhood cancer that I had more than What's Bugging Ben.
You know what's bugging me? Not enough questions. but we have some great questions this week, actually. It's almost like the more good
Do you remember Dicko Unzipped? Where Dicko would go on
David Tench tonight.
Yeah. No, Ian Dicko Dixon would go off on a rant on the morning show on whatever that is now Smooth FM used to be called.
Really?
Was it Vega at the time?
It was Vega, yeah.
It was Vega.
And it was called Dicko Unzipped.
It was Dicko Unzipped, and it'd go zoop and do like a zip sound, and then he'd be like, cyclists! I'm sick of them!
That's fucked.
But he'd never have a particularly hot take on anything because he had to force this outrage. Yeah. Like was the problem with What's Bugging Ben. Like if you've had a good week, what are you going to get mad about? So sometimes he'd be like, I bought a disappointing curry powder the other day. You're like, oh, who cares,
well,
Dicko?
What's Bugging Me was like, I didn't have a job for 5 months. So yeah, I can't really talk about that on the podcast. The only thing that I was enjoying was video games. But now I'm back to being financially stable and I can nitpick everything around me. It's great.
What's bugged you this week? Let's bring it back.
Bloody cyclists. I'm getting on the tram and they don't respect me. And
the
they
zip
me
on this pants, it won't come down quick enough. I like to think there was probably the original version, knowing what, like, because that was someone's job in it Vega.
To come
to
up with
together
Dicko
that
unzipped.
Sting.
Yeah,
yeah. And I reckon they would have put in a bit of a sound of like a schlong coming in. Yeah. There would have been a bit of a... that a producer heard and went, nah, yeah. That's
too much. Like ghosts coming out of it.
Yeah, it went for like 10 minutes and there was like clearly someone like sucking on it. And the sound of Dicko going, oh, fuck, baby, I'm about to come. And this guy in the production department just looking up at the producer as he's playing it going, huh?
Is it too short? I don't know if it's unrealistic at this point.
This guy that wants to be working on radio serials.
Yeah.
If you're not from America, by the way, Ian Dicko Dixon.
I was going to say before.
If you're not from America.
If you are from America or wherever, if you're not from Australia, I mean.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Ian Dicko Dixon was one of the hosts of Australian Idol, one of the judges.
Yeah. Or in your case, it may have been the equivalent of American Idol.
Yeah.
Or
Latvian Idol, wherever you're
pop
from.
Pop Idol.
Yeah. Yeah. I think at this point we have more American listeners than Australian listeners.
Do we really?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a lot of Americans. So, hello.
Bonjour. Yeah.
Or as your people say... Hello. But
or as your people say, vote Trump.
No, they say hello, but they don't spell it with the U.
Yeah. we spell every word with U's over here.
Oh, hello.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, well, it's
I get it.
You know,
yeah.
Like color and honor
yeah.
and shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a very good word joke.
I didn't know that there was a U in color because I don't see color. Zip. Boom, boom.
I knew if we waited, something good would happen.
like a little snake hiss. Like
we should stop this. They might not have blowjobs in America. They might not know what we're on about.
But he was like our Simon Cowell equivalent. He was the nasty one.
Simon Scowl, more like.
Ooh.
Who's the American? Oh, no, Simon Cowell.
He was on the American, too, and the British one, yeah.
Yeah, both of them imported British guys to be mean.
But we had a mean Australian. But he wasn't even that mean.
He's British. Dicko's British, isn't he?
No, then they brought Kyle in at one point.
Oh.
Kyle.
Yeah, Sandilands.
Oh, right, yeah.
He was a judge on
Wasn't he
Australian
on X Factor
Idol.
Or something? Or was he Australian?
He was Australia's
Idol?
Got
I think he's
talent.
Done all of them.
Yeah, right.
He was on Idol at one point, I'm pretty sure.
Wow.
Huh.
Years this ago. Is years and years
very
ago.
Interesting content.
Mid-2000s radio and television.
Yeah, in Australia. The minority right. audience.
What do you got? What's in the mailbag?
Unzip that mailbag.
Zip.
Boom.
Ah. Okay, we have to do this every time we unzip the mailbag.
Absolutely.
It's weird that our mailbag has a zip instead of just being like a standard kind of...
mail sack.
I always imagined it...
With a tie-up top thing?
What were you always imagining?
Like a cartoon style, just a cloth sack.
A drawstring?
Yeah. With a bit of... A drawstring!
That's the word I was trying to get before. Yeah. Yeah. So we've unzipped the drawstring. So actually, we'll got to edit this out because I haven't actually read all the questions.
Ugh.
You told us at the start that you had.
They're all good, but I don't know what to start with.
Okay.
It's like a bloody feast.
It's like the first time I had sex.
Oh yeah, in what way?
There's a lot. There's an awkward pause.
Yeah.
Someone's using their thumb a lot.
Yeah.
Your
dad hated it.
That yeah.
Don't edit this out, I reckon. This is good.
If we're leaving this in, I want to give context to that.
What?
If you ever try comedy, don't do the joke. Doing stand-up for the first time is a lot like having sex for the first time, because literally everyone has thought of that before you.
Yeah,
that's good advice.
Because you saw someone, I bumped into you in the street last night, Knox.
Yeah, on Tuesday. And good on him, like, you know, it's hard to do stand-up.
Yeah, good on you.
I still haven't figured it out. Yeah. But, you know, everyone goes, you know, this is my first time doing stand-up. I bet it's going to be a lot like the first time having sex. There's a lot of people watching. Everybody's going to be disappointed. It's going to be over too quickly. You know, everyone, and then usually at the end, it's like, I'm going to come. And yeah.
I like it. I don't think it's bad at all.
All right, maybe the advice should be do it every time.
Yeah.
Doing stand-up for the 434th time is a lot like having sex.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's good. And you have to show photos.
Actually, I might literally do that tonight.
Fuck. All right. So we got a question.
Hey, wait, let's quickly. No, now that you've got in the trigger.
Yeah.
In the trigger.
Sure.
We mentioned last time about the gig that we run.
Yes.
Catfish Comedy.
Yes.
And how listeners... I know listeners have been there.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But they've never talked to us.
Yeah.
And then someone came up to you last night and said, hey, I listen to Filthy Casuals.
Yeah.
They did not say anything to me.
Yeah.
And I work on the door. I talk to literally every person. You're harder to talk to because you're behind the sound booth.
Yep.
Hidden in the shadows. Your little putt in your hands.
Where I like to be, yes. Yeah.
They were looking face to face at me as I handled their money. I held their hand while I put a stamp on them.
And they probably thought, I wonder if that sick child knows where Tommy Dasilo is.
Wait, what?
Yeah, good point. Yeah. All right, I retract all of this.
Yeah. They came up to me and they were like, hey, you complained about no one talking to you. So I'm saying, hey, I like the podcast. And then they were like, oh, now I'm going to go sit down and watch the show. And I was very gratified.
Did you realize, though, oh, yeah, maybe it is a weird request to ask someone to specifically come up to me and tell me that they admire my work?
No, not at all.
If you ever see me in the street, please come up and tell me your five favorite things about me.
Yeah. That would be great. Imagine if people did that. Yeah.
What if they got to three and couldn't keep going, though?
Well,
have a think. If you think you're going to see one of us, have a think before you...
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Don't do that, please. It'll be so... I'll be awkward. I'm not good with compliments, even if they're genuine.
Yeah. No, it was good. It was a nice conversation. His name's Matt, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, hello. And
great.
Thanks for listening. And you made me feel very happy.
Okay, so this first question...
This first question comes to us from Marcel again.
Sorry,
friend.
You made me feel fair.
Yeah.
Just makes you sound extraordinarily simple.
I am.
I also do quickly want to point out you're perfectly welcome to come up and talk to me. When I said, please never come and talk to me.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm a Roman emperor. You're
exactly.
More than welcome to say hello.
Because well, I
and nothing
to
further.
I reply to a lot of the listeners' questions and stuff on Twitter and stuff. I think I'm the main person who does that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's nice to meet him in person. So Marcel asks or comments.
Marcel Marceau.
Yeah, he mimes this. The very low chance of running into any human players in No Man's Sky is going to be really lame, especially if there's no strong narrative. Fair point.
Well, so
it's not really a question, is it, Marcel?
No, but it's a
that was a good question. Now, that's how you ask a question.
The thing they've been saying the whole
Marcel,
time...
Marcel, why are you such a cunt?
The thing they've been saying, though, the whole time... So apparently I read a thing about this. The way it works is you have like a bubble around you, you know, and if someone comes within that bubble, they connect with you.
Right. So it's got to be a big bubble,
a
right?
A fairly large bubble.
Yeah.
I'm not sure of the size of the bubble. But you know how they've been saying since the start of it, like the
all
whole...
All this talk about being a boy in a bubble is bringing back a lot of very uncomfortable memories for me.
When you watch the movie Bubble Boy.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah.
My least favourite Seinfeld episode as well.
Oh.
But yeah, so the point of that game is to get, one of the things is to get to the centre of the galaxy.
Yes, universe.
So I'm willing to bet that's the point where you meet a lot of other people because there'll be a bunch of other people there,
surely. That's a good point.
And that'd
yeah.
be a cool way to sort of cap that game off is, hey, now there's all these people hanging around here. Maybe you can meet up with them in the middle and go and do some shit together.
Yeah,
what's that, like a week, 2 weeks,
yeah, like,
something like that. Yeah,
yeah.
It's early. It's early August. Yeah, yeah. Like 7th.
Apparently,
it
slipped back to the 12th or something on some page.
That's still soon. That's like 2 weeks away or something.
We should kill them.
Yeah. Again, I think we've said it before. Like, we just have to wait and see what this game is when it launches.
Yeah, totally. It'll be cool to run into people. But if that's not the game they're making and it's fun without it, then who cares?
Yeah.
10th of August.
10th of August. Mm. Great. Trent asks, what superhero would you want to get their own game? AKA the Arkham games.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good question.
I think a Superman game where you lose all your powers and have to slowly regain them, sort of like a Metroid thing.
Oh, yeah.
Where you slowly get more powerful. The payoff of being powerful Superman at the end would
be
cool.
Like an Infamous game?
Yeah. You'd have to do it that way. You can't just start off being strong-ass Superman because, like, he's too much. He's too much, that Superman.
But then there
he is a riot.
He's the living end. There are games like Just Cause where that you can do anything, really. And the fun aspect is, like, everything's happening.
Yeah.
Sure. So maybe if you're Superman, you're trying to, like, save people, stop shit blowing up, stop, you know, a million car crashes at once or something like that.
Sort of like Dead Rising. Did you ever play Dead Rising?
No.
It was on the 360. It was pretty good, but it had this thing that always stressed me out too much to really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Where you kind of had to pick and choose which people you'd help out or whatever.
Oh,
yeah. Because there was too much going on to
do all
cool,
of it. That's
cool,
yeah. Right. So you're saying a Superman game where
you have to stop destruction.
You have to, but it's almost like you choose your list of missions and for each one that you do,
you can't do another.
The other things happen.
Yeah.
So you then have to deal with the fallout of, like, how does that impact the world, and that's probably going to change the world of the game.
Yeah, that could be cool.
Because that's the only, like, that's his only weakness, is he wants to save everyone and he physically can't sometimes.
He's a super, his weakness is time management.
Yeah, yeah.
What a lame douche. He's still lame.
I don't like Superman. Yeah, I don't like Superman.
I don't like Henry Cavill either, or Cavill.
Yeah.
I think he's
like, real bland.
Apparently he's good in the uncle thing.
No.
Man from, oh, no?
No.
Oh, okay.
The whole movie is like, it's just superficial. There's nothing to it.
Yeah, right.
Superman.
Ooh, make it superficial. he seems like great, but it's only real showy powers.
Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing to him.
It's only skin deep.
I think a Deadpool video game would be real cool.
Oh, it's totally random.
Real funny
Monster
and real
energy.
Random.
It's like not he knows like he's in a video game.
Not like these boring ass Batman and Spider-Man. He makes sick calls and he talks to
he
the
even
audience.
Fucking, he swears sometimes.
Yeah. Xbox, more like fucking sexbox, you cunt, says Deadpool.
Oh, Deadpool.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo!
Deadpool, you are the living end.
I actually didn't mind that Deadpool movie, though.
It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
I went and saw that new Star Trek. Speaking
love that.
Of movies.
Anytime someone reviews a movie like that, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. Because it's like, it's the faintest praise. And it's like, why did you go when you thought
you're
it was
walking into this cinema
bad.
Going, fuck, I wish I wasn't here.
It's so good.
I did not watch it at a cinema. I watched it on my iPad.
Right. I didn't watch Batman vs. Superman for the same reason, but then did watch like that extended thing they did recently.
Oh, really?
Long, boring movie.
Yeah,
Jesus, Malak.
Yeah, no shit. Extended is in the title of it.
Yeah.
No, but it's just still.
You
well,
know what
yeah,
I'd like to
true.
Get extended?
Yes?
What's that?
This
awkward pause.
Mission accomplished.
Speaking of things that people say, you know, a condition we are to just say and accept when people say, how are you going? Not bad. It's like, how faint is that, like, as a description of how you're going? Not bad.
It's pretty damn
faint.
All right,
mate, save it for the stage, buddy.
Why don't they make the whole plane out of that black box material?
Who was the first person to fucking eat a chicken's period? Hey, what's going through that bloke's mind?
This is a lot like the first time I had sex. I'd like to see a good Wolverine game.
Yeah.
Apparently there was one.
Yeah, I don't... Was that... It might have been on the Xbox 360 or something that I didn't have, I think.
Or just all the X-Men.
Yep.
Yeah.
X-Men in general.
Yeah.
Gambit.
I don't get why... I mean, they're doing it with Spider-Man, but like... Yeah, now that the Arkham... There's the template there with the Arkham games. Why isn't everyone just getting on this and going...
It's pretty great.
And
you
just straight up jacking that and putting...
You make Metroid, but then you... With powers instead of items or like, you know, robot gadgets.
Yeah.
That's the way to make any game. Just make Metroid.
I feel like the reason that the Batman ones were so successful, I mean, there's a lot of reasons, but the fact that all the villains are so interesting and well-designed.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, like who
that
are the
really
Superman
helps.
Villains?
Lex fucking Luthor.
Yeah, some businessman.
Michael Shannon.
Again, it's time management bullshit.
Yeah.
But like with the, it, like an open world X-Men game where you switch between characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be pretty cool.
There was one of them called X-Men Ultimate Alliance, I think. Was something that? Like, oh, maybe it's Marvel Ultimate Alliance. They're re-releasing them
that,
soon.
That rings a bell, yeah.
Anyway.
There was City of Heroes and there was DC Online. Oh, remember those?
Yeah.
They were bad.
I never tried them.
From memory. I played DC Online because it was free and it sucked. It was shitty.
I think the real superheroes are the brave men and women of our fire department.
I want them to bring back Boogerman.
Do
you remember Boogerman?
Yeah.
Earthworm Jim. Bring all these cunts back.
Yeah.
Yeah, where's Earthworm Jim been?
Those games were...
coming underground.
I loved those games.
Yeah, at the time they were good.
Yeah.
Funny, like good mix of like funny. They looked great. Good gameplay.
Yeah.
Bring back Earthworm Jim.
All right.
Okay.
He said he'd come. Yeah. He said he'd come right back. He said he was just going to get cigarettes and that he'd be right back.
Who do you... Okay, so Ramsey asks, what would be your Mount Rushmore of video game characters? Now, I know we say we don't want to do best... like, what's our favourite blubber?
But who's on Mount Rushmore?
But who's on Mount Rushmore?
Waluigi,
Hicks,
four
Carlin.
Times. Sorry, we went for the same...
Did we really? What did
thing.
You go for?
No,
I just said Waluigi four times. But we just answered at the same time. We just kind of cut each other off.
Yeah, they were right. Both good jokes.
Yeah. Thanks, Ben.
You've got to put Mario on there.
You've got to, yeah.
Yeah.
You're probably going to chuck Pikachu on there.
Nah. Absolutely not.
Maybe real people's faces. Maybe do like that Atari guy, the guy who made Atari. Oh. Noel Bushnell, is that his name? Miyamoto.
That rings a bell, yeah.
Put Peter Molyneux on there, but it's like a way smaller
head
than any of the others. But he said it was going to be the biggest one. And it's tiny little thing.
I don't know, like maybe it would be like developers, like Kojima.
Yeah.
And like, what's his name? Ken Levine, the Bioshock guy?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's...
That guy who did Unreal and shit. What's his name? He was the Epic guy. Fucking, doesn't matter.
John Grisham.
That's him.
Just whack John Grisham in there just for the hell.
You know what? Tom Clancy would have a better stake for being on the Mount Rushmore than a lot of other people.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of Tom Clancy
that's
video
true.
Games.
That's true. Yeah.
But have they all been good?
But it doesn't matter. Like, were all of Lincoln's policies good? Not necessarily. Washington owned slaves. He's up there.
I guess that's
so,
a good point.
You know,
speaking of Mount Rushmore.
Carlin.
Knox.
Have you guys seen Richie Rich recently?
No.
No, where is he? Is he around?
Oh, my God. That was worse than I thought it was going to be.
It's funny that you ask us, have you seen Richie Rich recently? Like we might have.
Yeah.
I rewatched it. I think it was on TV like a year or so ago.
Right,
I watched
okay.
it.
Yeah,
it's
right.
good.
It's good.
Nice. Yeah, I thought it held
That's
up.
That's your takeaway. It's good.
Better than I thought it was going to be.
Better than I thought it was going to be.
Not bad.
Have you seen the extended cut, though?
Oh, man.
Cadbury...
Cadbury.
He gets into some more gangster shenanigans.
He says the N-word. They couldn't show that in the cinemas.
Oh, fuck. I'm rapidly remembering everything about that movie. He plays baseball.
It's porno for kids, basically. Like, yeah. Remember the big preteen cums you did when you saw that he had a McDonald's in his house?
Yes.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
I did big preteen cums when I went past an actual McDonald's.
That's okay. Let's put this. We spend a lot of time answering questions on
yes,
this show.
Yes.
For the listeners, write in and let us know.
Oh.
When was the last? Tell us your memories of your biggest preteen cum.
You know what?
You
definitely don't send that to us on social media and have this weird wave.
By the way,
something else that we have
Rip
to check
talk.
Back in.
Yeah. I was going to mention. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of successful shout outs to the listeners from this podcast, we did a poll during the week.
Yeah.
Last week we were talking about you and I, Knox, and we didn't say what we landed on. You and I got into a big fight about whether or not the actor Rip Torn.
And I, correctly.
Is dead or alive.
Also, now, I was there and I agree with Knox and knew that he was. Well.
Well, do we just say?
I'm going to find
Bring
the.
Bring up the results of the poll.
Yeah, I got to find the results.
A lot of people voted.
Yeah, 101 people voted in this.
Hopefully, we get that many responses to the preteen comes question.
Now, so it's a 60-40 split.
Yeah.
In the way of Rip Torn alive.
Yep.
Congratulations to the 60%.
Yeah.
Rip Torn is very much alive as of this recording.
Yes.
But that is, well, now that we've said it, he will die.
Oh, yeah.
Did we say that was going to happen last episode?
Yeah, we did. And then I think I said, yeah, well, he's going to die either way eventually.
Mm. But it is... So, yeah, I thought he was dead. I swear to God I remember reading about him being dead.
No, you know what's crazy? So do I.
Yeah.
Like, I...
And 60-40 is not that big of a win.
Yeah.
That's 40%. So that... How many people voted?
101. So it's almost literally like 60.
40 people thought he was dead.
Yeah.
60
Those
people,
are my kind of people.
No, he...
Those people should all send me nudes.
We
That 40% as well, I'm 100% sure, didn't check. Mm. Beforehand, so
a
they
lot
played
of people,
the game right.
A lot of people tweeted in saying, "I don't know who Riptorn is, so
Come
dead."
On. Men in Black.
Yeah,
he was in. He was Zed.
We have a lot of young listeners.
This is the
a
best
of preteen
piece
listeners.
Of like follow up social media engagement content we've ever done on this show.
Yeah,
I loved it.
It's fantastic. Yeah. I got a weird kick out of it.
Put
I
up a post. Okay, put up a poll seems to be the way to go.
Yeah,
okay. Which is better? Pre-teen comes or post-teen
Definitely
comes?
Definitely don't write that.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to. I've already done it.
Yeah.
Can you
and
do
then you've put the poll up. Oh. Yeah.
Were we answering a question? Oh, the Mount Rushmore thing.
Yeah. We got enough.
That. Well,
yeah.
Hey, I reckon we're just about done for this episode. Let's hold on some of those questions.
There's some good Seems ones. Like There's some more ones to
right.
think about.
Yeah, yeah. I have to go.
Yeah.
All right, mate.
Okay. So, Filthy Casuals.
I have to go save Rip Torn.
Filthy Casuals Pod on Twitter, Filthy Casuals on Facebook, filthycasuals.pod
at
gmail.com.
Yes, baby.
And hey, if you're a listener of my other podcast and you live in Canberra and you're coming to our live show this Saturday, you'll get to see little Adam Knox coming along for the ride.
I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
I'm going to wreck it.
Yeah. I'm going to spend 8 hours. No, I'm going to spend a combined total of 16 hours in a car with you.
Fuck.
That's fine.
AMA. It could be the end of this podcast. Who knows?
Nah, I'll sleep. It's fine. That's always the best guy to travel with is someone who sleeps the whole time.
We should... We fucked it because me and Carl, who I do that podcast with, we booked two guests to come up to Canberra with us, and we very stupidly booked two people who can't drive.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a big mistake.
Yeah.
And
we can't share the load. Sorry. Mm.
Fuck.
Speaking of sharing the load.
Hmm?
I don't know. Get out of my house.
And as you say every week on Filthy Casuals,
I have to leave.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.